Deborah Sosicki and Brian Pattinen from Makerspace CT as they sit in our Touchpoint Rehab interview chairs. Deborah and Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
First, explain to our audience, what is Makerspace CT?
Makerspace CT is a company that we founded to encourage making in Connecticut. We're opening a large facility in the Hartford Colt Building on the first floor, which is a historic seat of manufacturing, innovation, and invention. It'll be a 15,000-square-foot facility with almost $1 million worth of tools and equipment.
Wow.
Training to go with that, both basic use and advanced training. It's meant to be a fun place to go. You can, you know, you don't have to know anything to go in, take some classes, to start to use the equipment. It's a very reasonable membership fee. We're thinking it'll average somewhere in $100 a month region. And, you know, the idea is to share all this equipment that you couldn't possibly buy on your own, and to have higher-end equipment than most people, you know, could afford. For instance, a wood shop will have a $40,000 CNC wood router that normally would only be found in something like a furniture shop.
So, and people will be able to go in there.
Absolutely. So the purpose really is about community resource equipment. And I just want to go over a few of the types of shops and resources we'll have. But to answer your question, people can join this as they would join a gym on a monthly basis or a project basis.
Really?
So
wow.
You will have access to equipment and learning how to utilize it, whereupon often you'd spend years learning a career, a trade to get in. You'll be at least able to touch it, learn your skill, hone it, and then choose if you want to go on to a higher level of learning in that particular interest.
How did you guys think this up? I mean, yes. Please.
So as the story has it, I've been married to the consummate maker for about 26 years. And if Brian wants something, he makes it. There were many occasions that I would come home and find an engine dangling off the joist in the, a big truck engine dangling off the joist in the garage. And Brian had, you know, the car apart or whatever. But he and our children have always raced motocross. And at one point, Brian wanted a motocross race trailer. So we had all this steel dumped in our driveway, tons of steel in the center of Avon. We're very popular. And then in the middle of winter, he designed the hydraulics, he designed the whole thing, an engineer, and he welded the whole thing at 22 below in our driveway in February. It has a full kitchen, a full bathroom, everything he needs, the beaver tail to ride the bikes in and everything he wanted in a race trailer. But he builds houses. So he's a builder. He's a maker, whether it's electronic or mechanical engineering. In 26 years, I've never seen him get stumped at anything.
Wow. Brian, what a motivation. Why? No wonder you got a great public relations person in your wife.
That was quite a project. All the neighbors were, you know, they'd drive by and they'd be looking to see what I was building because they didn't know. And we had to actually extend our garage like an extra 10 feet with a tent because it was winter and we needed to heat it, you know. But, yeah, it was quite a project. But that was what actually got me started with this little LED cube. I went on Instructables and I saw this thing. It was amazing. It's an animated LED cube that has all these different effects. And that was kind of like the gateway project that kind of got me going into the computer control and the microprocessors. And it's the first time I really heard the word maker movement, things like that.
So as it was, one rainy, snowy Saturday in January, about 3 or 4 years ago, he was then reading Make Magazine, because this is the magazine the father of all making is Make Magazine and Dale Doherty. And he was reading me an article one day about a makerspace, about this type of facility where people can go off the street, go in. If an entrepreneur has a project, they can work on creating a prototype. If a hobbyist is interested in something, they can certainly put that together. Children are available to get lessons in school. Adults learn lots of things. And
wow.
I'm thinking, well, he's the consummate maker. And I said, Bri, you have to do this. This is you. I thought about it for a few days, and I said, we really have to pursue this. So there was a Maker Con and a Maker Summit and a Maker Fair in San Mateo, and that was in January. Brian signed us up in May, and we went for a week of intensive learning about makerspaces and how to create them and what the whole movement
is. We've been on this.
About 3 years ago, actually.
Yeah, almost 4 years.
How did you arrive at the Colt building?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Well, it's an iconic building, and we always felt that, you know, they actually perfected the use of interchangeable parts there. It was one of the triggers for the Industrial Revolution. They made guns there. They made printing presses. They made typewriters. They made all kinds of stuff. And they developed a lot of machinery and tooling and techniques that went on to be used all over the country. And we were like, boy, wouldn't it be great if we could get back in there and bring this hands-on, this learning, this making, this building back to this iconic building. And we have some great sponsors that have helped make that happen. JCJ Architecture was particularly helpful in getting us into the Colt Building. MasterCam, which is a great software company.
CNC software
up in,
from
Holland. They're the market leader in high-end CAM software. They have been actually supporting our efforts now for quite some time. We wouldn't be here without them. We've done some work with Goodwin College. They're very interested in making. And, you know, it just seemed like a natural fit to us, although it took a lot of effort to actually make it happen. It's a big deal to move into a building like that. It's not like renting a warehouse somewhere.
Now, you've got a big fundraiser tonight we're going to talk about in just a moment, because this is so huge, Brad, for, I believe, Hartford.
Are you kidding?
Area,
for the whole state of Connecticut and the whole region.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to get back and talk about the big event tonight in just a moment.
Okay.
What's that?
I was thinking of Mark, who was Mr. Colt's best friend.
Oh, who was Mr. Colt's best friend?
Yes. He lived
Mark
in
Twain.
That's it.
Yeah, Mark Twain, of
course. I was thinking, can you imagine what this building means to so many thousands and thousands of people? Yep. And here are the two people that are going to revitalize all of this. That's what it's going to turn into.
About,
you wait and see.
Think about that, because in our Touch Points Rehab interview chairs are Deborah Sisitsky and Brian Patton from Makerspace CT, and they've been filling us in on what's going on, what they're doing. 15,000 square feet in the historic Colt Building. Now, tonight, you have a big fundraiser in the Colt Building. So talk about that.
We do. Tonight, we are having a wonderful fundraiser. We're having about 20 different exhibitors. And we have a broad range of exhibitors from not only CNC machines from an engineering perspective, but we have some artists that work with CNC machines to create things from Central coming over to display. We also have laser tech.
I think it was a painting robot that they were bringing, which should be pretty interesting.
We have laser cutters we're going to display. We have a lot of artists. We have Mundy Hepburn coming up from Fenwick or Old Saybrook, who actually is Catherine's nephew, I believe, who is a phenomenal neon glass sculptor. And he's bringing two of his exhibits up tonight. Hope he won't get too wet. We have Peter Greenwood, a wonderful local glass artist. Dennis Peabody, another glass artist. We have some clay artists. We have some folk artists.
Miller is bringing their augmented reality welding setup. It's a $20,000 welding trainer, and you put on the welding mask, and you pick up the torch, and you act like you're actually going to weld, and you actually see it in the mask. You see the welding. You see the sparks. You see the smoke. You see the weld forming, but it's all virtual.
Wow. And we're going to have a little welding war between the men and the women tonight. We're going to do a little virtual welding war. We also have the Colbys that are playing. They're a phenomenal musical group. Bev and John Colby are going to be playing live music. And we're catered by the Bee's Knees. And we have tastings from Hog River, Hanging Hills, and Hartford Flavors.
You know, just talking with you here, you almost think this can't be Hartford, Connecticut. I mean,
this is a big deal.
This is a huge deal, Dan.
Yep.
Can you imagine once they get going and once the word gets out everywhere that we've got this in the capital city?
Right. Now, the fundraiser tonight, can you still get tickets?
Yes, you can go on makerspacect.eventbrite.com and you can purchase tickets.
And we're also looking forward with working with Innovate Hartford. They're doing a lot to bring in entrepreneurs, to bring in different businesses into the city, and we'll have a tremendous resource and equipment and training, you know, to work with them as well.
When is this going to be ready? I'm sure there are people listening saying, well, it's great talk, but when's it going to be ready? This is fabulous.
We are working on the build-out right now. As soon as this event is over, we're going to be doing major improvements to the space, pouring a new floor, putting in air conditioning and heating, electrical. And once that basic infrastructure is done, then we can start building the walls, forming the shops, and thinking about bringing in the machines.
So hopefully later on this year, the beginning of next year.
Wow.
And I just want to talk for a second about the shops that we're going to have there. Just so you know, there'll be CNC shops, welding, wood shops, metal fabrication, electronics, robotics, art, ceramics, glasswork, screen printing, fiber arts, jewelry making, digital fabrication, 3D printers and scanners, laser cutters, engraving, vacuum forming, plastic injection, large format printers, large projects area, powder coating, finishing, conference areas, tool lending library, blacksmithing.
So if you don't know anything about these fields, you could get instruction in them at a Maker
Absolutely.
Space
CNC? And we've actually kind of crossed a watershed in a way. CNC machinery was a career. In fact, it was three careers. You know, you had one guy that would actually write the code. You had another guy that would program the machine. You had another guy that would run the machine. Now the machinery has become so sophisticated, and the software, the MasterCam, and the various CAD programs have become so sophisticated that an average person can actually operate them with a little bit of effort. So CNC has actually become available to the masses in a meaningful way, and many different technologies have benefited, you know, tremendously from this computer control. But we also have traditional arts too, like the glass blowing, like the blacksmithing. You know, you watch these shows on TV, like where they forged in fire, where they make the knives and the swords and stuff. Right. We're going to have a fully equipped blacksmith shop, all the tools, a forge. You know, maybe we'll hold our own little show at some point. You know, same with glass blowing. We're going to have not a complete huge glass shop, but we will have the basics that you need to do glass blowing at the, you know, the
Now, when
the
you
skill.
Get this open, how is it going to work? I mean, people can sign up, people can... Is
join it how? Like a gym, pretty much. You're going to be able to join it like a gym with a monthly fee.
Wow.
And
or you can go by project, too.
Right, or a project basis.
And it's, you know, it's important for, you know, the hobbyists out there, the people that want to build a custom motorcycle or weld a roll cage or make any sort of, you know, item that they desire. But the space has other implications. It's one of the important things is it enables entrepreneurs to do product development, actual hardware development. We have everything from plastic injection, high-end 3D printing, electronics. We can make custom circuit boards on the fly. You know, this is a really important economic spur. And even if you have a good idea and you don't know how to build something, you can get help. We have, you know, paid staff. We have experts in various fields. And the community is going to be very important. We have a lot of very accomplished, very professional people in this area, engineers and different types of people that have, you know, decades of, you know, high-end experience. And we think that that community will form and help bring these projects home at a high level.
But can you imagine that's in the Colt building?
That's right.
I mean, what does that say about years after Mr. Colt, huh?
The Colt building revived again.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's a beautiful facility. There are several. They've done a great job with it, and the state's been very involved. And there's several wonderful businesses in the Colt building already, and we're pretty excited to join them because it means so much. Henry Ford worked there. Pratt and Whitney worked there. And every time, you know, if you're a native, as we are, you talk to someone, they go, my dad worked there, my grandfather, my uncle worked there. So everybody has some sort of a connection to the Colt building.
Oh, this is fabulous.
It's an amazing facility.
And Larry Dooley and Colt Gateway have hit it out of the park. They've picked up the project. They've just done a phenomenal job. The Colt building that we're moving into, the East Armory, is almost full when we move in. Senator Chris Murphy is there, JCJ Architects and Surety, the Krex School. I mean, it's really an amazing building. And they've also renovated the buildings all around it. And there's one more building to go, and they're going to put in some really nice apartments.
Wow. Now, what about the event tonight? Do you get a tour of the dome?
So if the rain isn't horizontal, I believe I've heard the word monsoon being kicked about today. So if the rain isn't horizontal and the winds aren't over 70 miles per hour, I think we're going to go.
Yeah, we're definitely planning on it unless they're, you know, at risk of getting blown off.
This is just terrific. Again, how can people get tickets to tonight's fundraiser?
Makerspace CT, MakerspaceCT dot Eventbrite, EventBrite.com.
I want to say one thing before we let our guests leave at 27 minutes after 8. That's the time. But Deborah Sisitsky.
Well said.
And it's well said because I knew the Sisitskys. I grew up with the Sisitskys in Enfield, Connecticut.
How about that? And you had no idea when I arranged this interview.
No idea. When I saw the name, hit it, the pronunciation was nothing. Yeah, the Sisitskys. And they said, that's the way they pronounce it. Well, yeah, yes.
Usually people get scared
right
and sizzle up a storm.
So. They're going to be running. You never know, do you, Dan? You never know.
It is a small world. I'm so excited about this project.
Oh, fabulous.
Brian, we were talking. We got about a minute or so left. From an infrastructure standpoint, internet, gigabyte, all of that. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, the Internet of Things is going to be huge. Cisco thinks it's going to be worth $19 trillion by 2020. And the Internet of Things is the connection of physical devices, computers and phones and machines to the Internet. It's that element of communication. And a lot of people said that the Internet of Things is going to be bigger than the Internet itself because it encompasses the entire physical world in addition to the Internet part. And this is a place where you can come in with a good idea for a connected device. You can work on it. You can develop it. We also have partners like Reset and other patent
University of Hartford
resources that can help you develop your product, build a business, and hopefully come out with another home run.
So just back up for a second and explain to people, if they don't know what the Internet of Things, or an example, it would be like a Nest thermostat, whereupon you use sensors and monitors in various areas to affect a change in another area.
You know, Dan, what I'm thinking of, and you are too, we should do a show from there.
Sounds like a plan.
Huh?
Sounds like a
plan.
Oh,
my God, can you imagine?
Yes.
A show from the Colt Building all of this?
We'll do one.
And I do just want to mention in closing that there are important educational and community, involvements as well.
Tremendous. Yeah. Tremendous.
Deborah, Brian, we can't thank you enough for coming into the studio. And good luck tonight.
Thank you. The fundraiser
from 6:30 to 10 o'clock at the historic Colt Building.
And it's 8:30.